Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I am doing okay under the circumstances, yes.
If I'm seeing it, you know, I turned on here in, obviously outside of Israel, we celebrate 2 days of Shavuot. I was dreading turning on my phone last night, and when I did, I realized I was dreading it for very good reason. There's a tsunami of hate, of irrationality, of aggressive behavior. Quite disheartening, and that's me. You're dealing with this all day. How do you manage?
Yeah, there's a lot of hate. I get it individually. We get it collectively, and we see a lot of young people. What's been very disheartening in this conflict is that so many young people have wanted to correct the record or reach out and educate people and respond. They've had the most vicious kind of hate, and it's always the same. It's anti-Semitic to women. It's often misogynistic. It's always unfair, and it's shrill, and it's dangerous. And the truth is that that hate actually fuels incitement. We've seen that in capitals around the world. Very violent protests, very anti-Jewish protests as well happening, and it's all fueled by this online hate. And there's a parallel there, because of course this current scenario that we find ourselves in was fueled by hate. Now, hate was used online as a tactic by Iranian-backed Hamas and their allies to whip up people into a frenzy, to have them think that Israel is somehow threatening the Al-Aqsa Mosque and threatening Jerusalem, and to inspire young people to violence. And so what we're seeing in different places all around the world is actually just a repeat in some form. We hope it won't be as violent, but a repeat of what we're seeing extremists do here in Israel.
Yeah, what's very worrying, in fact, you mentioned that my 16-year-old daughter had that exact experience where she tried to correct something or say something on social media and encountered bullying the likes of which she'd never seen. And she actually posted to say, I'm a 16-year-old girl. This is the type, these are the messages that I'm getting from adults. And effectively, of course, it's all in the name of human rights, isn't it? So we can go out and hate as much as we like, all in the name of love. But it's almost soul destroying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is something that we have been learning to counsel young people through. We're actually running a session tonight, 7 p.m. tonight, which young people can join about how to be active online for Israel.
That's brilliant.
How to deal with anti-Semitism and hate online. And if people go to standwithus.com/situationroom, not only can they find all the resources that they need to get accurate information from the ground and to share all around, but also they can get details of the session we're running at 7 p.m. tonight for young people.
Just to be clear, it is 7 p.m. Israel time, is that right?
7 p.m. Israel time,
right?
Yeah,
so it'll be 6 o'clock. Correct.
6 o'clock, yes.
So it'll be 6 o'clock. It'll be 6 o'clock.
That's correct.
South African time.
Yeah, and the website is standwithus.com/situationroom.
Right, and I think that'll be very, very useful. We'll certainly get the word out here as well for young people
Thank
to
you.
Go and have a look at that, because it's something, you know, that there are a couple of new things that we seem to be dealing with from my own observation. One is exactly as you've mentioned, is this targeting of younger people. The problem with that as well is that many celebrities who they have admired until now, who have come up with the most terrible statements, ignorant statements. And that's very confusing for younger people.
Yeah, it's that time when celebrities and influencers suddenly become overnight Middle East geopolitics experts, and each of them wants to share with us their pearls of wisdom. But of course, most of them know nothing. And we've seen these celebrity so-called influencers who are essentially just tourists in our conflict over here in Israel. They're ignorant. They've never experienced it. Most of them have never been to Israel, the Palestine they would like to free, they know nothing about. And so it's very easy to put a glib post, or, you know, a hashtag, share something from an often dubious source. It's disheartening for young people to see people they follow or potentially respect do that. But we have to counter them, and we have to educate them. Some do it out of ignorance. Some do it just because they are sheep following the pack, and some have a more malign cause. But we have to be able to point out to them that BDS is inherently anti-Semitic. I've seen celebrities calling for boycotts of Israel, and that this isn't, you know, this is a David Goliath versus Goliath battle. Well, but actually, in the Middle East, Israel is the David.
Right. Yeah, except that it's been framed as exactly the opposite, because the narrative of Gaza as this open air, the largest open air prison, I'm seeing this over and over again, that's come back while Israel bombs the mosques, again, using the word bombing of the mosque. It's just incredible. And the more of it gets repeated over and over again, almost until it becomes fact.
And the minimization of, you know, Hamas firepower, the fact that they're backed by Iran, the fact that they have lobbed indiscriminate rockets and missiles, by the way, towards Israeli civilians, the fact that they go out and try to kill as many civilians as they can, and that, you know, in any other circumstance, those civilians would be mourned, but in Israel's circumstance, somehow they're lesser. That a 5-year-old boy can be murdered, or a 16-year-old girl can be murdered, that Arabs can be murdered or maimed. Hundreds of people have been injured in Israel in the last few days. And this is all deliberate. Their lives will be untenably changed for the rest of their life. And that's because we have terrorists who live next door to us, who are no different in ideology from the likes of ISIS. And we have to be able to point that out and correct, as you say, there's a very, deliberate use of words by Israel's enemies to try and minimize what's happening to Israel. But of course, if they were in this conflict and they had to, you know, drive without their seatbelt on so they could run out of the car as soon as a rocket siren goes off, or huddle to the ground with their kids, or put their daughter in the bomb shelter, as I have had to this week, you know, my younger kids have slept in the bomb shelter, and I had that, you know, heartbreaking time where I say goodnight to them, and my youngest turned to me and said, "Goodnight, Abba, stay safe." I mean, there's a piece of your heart as a father that breaks when your youngest child is telling you to stay safe. But that's the situation we're in. It's intolerable. No one else would accept it. And the hypocrisy is rank.
What bothers me is it takes a tremendous amount of cognitive dissonance to argue away many of the facts that are very, very clear. You can't see thousands upon thousands of missiles being launched into Israel from Gaza, Gaza firing the first and continuing since they started. You can't see all of that. You can't hear the story about the so-called eviction. You can't hear see what's going on and deliberately, if you don't want to see it, you've got to find real ways of distancing yourself from truth. And what's worrying me is that certainly people that I've admired here in South Africa until now on many, many subjects, and I continue to admire on many subjects, seem to have gone down a path of complete fantasy and illusion in order to fit a narrative. That's the part that bothers me tremendously, and I don't know how to counter that.
Well, of course, you know, I mentioned David versus Goliath. We will always be outmanned realistically outgunned in the Middle East, and that goes on social media as well. And we have to understand, this isn't new. This is a drip effect of propaganda, and we've seen Palestinian-led propaganda, we've seen Iranian-led propaganda, and propaganda from the offshoots, the BDS groups, the pro-Palestinian groups who are really just anti-Israel groups. And for many years, they've been drip-feeding audiences with terms like occupation and apartheid, as of course you well know. And so the images we've seen during this conflict, a lot of them have been false and a lot of them have been faked. And a lot of the claims are, of course, you know, extreme and overblown. But they've had so much time to settle. That's what we're facing. I mean, that's the work we do at Stand With Us. We push back. You know, we don't allow a vacuum to accumulate. When there's silence on our side, it allows their lies to collate and to devastating effect, as we see in a scenario like this. I mean, if you think about it, this is a crazy thought, but it's true. You know, the Nazi the Nazi powers had much less time to create anti-Jewish propaganda than, unfortunately, the allies of the Palestinian Authority have had in so many years. Think about the seeds they've been able to sow for hatred, which is why when people ask me what's the root cause of the conflict, it's Arab rejectionism of the one and only Jewish country in the world, and it is the generational hate that has been educated towards their young that's going to take a long time to undo. Once, you know, somebody said once, you don't make peace with your enemies, you make peace with your former enemies. And they've never been able to embrace Israelis as their former enemies. Some ordinary Palestinians do, and as we've seen, other Arab states, particularly in the Gulf, have been able to. But of course, the Palestinian leadership has never done that, and every time they've been offered a peace deal, they've rejected it. So that's why our work, and I mean that collectively, your listeners as well, every time you're able to open someone's eyes that there is another side to this story, and that actually they shouldn't believe what they're being fed in terms of anti-Israel propaganda, we are helping the situation. And I don't mean, you know, necessarily the BDS activists, but people who you're mentioning, Howard, who up until now may have expressed a sensible opinion on this and unfortunately have been turned to one side by the propaganda they've seen. We have to speak out and we have to reach out, and that's how we'll redress the balance.
Absolutely right. And just keep doing the incredible, incredible work that you are doing, that your organization is doing, and at times must be completely, completely relentless. Michael Dixon, he's author of Israel Resilience, What Israelis Can Teach the World, as well as the executive director of Stand With Us Israel. We are going to share their website details so that if you do have a teenager, if you are somebody listening that wants to attend that this evening, that is going to take place at 6 p.m. South African time.